דבר רבש כרך ב' עמוד 1381.
And the writings of Rabash, the article, What are truth and falsehood in the work?
יש להבין איך שייך
We should understand how truth and falsehood pertain to the work of the Creator.
שיכולים להיות
This implies that one can be a servant of the Creator even though it is a lie. How can such a thing be said? It is written in the Zohar, the share of the Creator is to delight the poor. For on these days, the holy days, the Creator comes to see his broken vessels.
שאין להם במה
And he sees that they have nothing with which to rejoice. He weeps for them. He interprets these words in the Sulam, the letter commentary, as follows. First, we need to understand the interpretation of our sages that at the time of the creation of the world, when he said to the angels, let us make man in our image, Chesed, mercy, said, let him be created, for he does mercies. Truth said, let him not be created, for he is all lies. Tzedek, justice, said, let him be created, for he does righteousness. Peace said, let him not be created, for he is all strife. What did the Creator do? He took truth and cast it to the earth.
Perush.
Comes a clothing for the nefesh. Concerning lo lishma, which is called a lie,
we
should interpret that since the purpose of creation is to do good to his creations, and in order for man to obtain this in actuality, meaning to see that the delight and pleasure are revealed in the world, the created beings cannot see this before they have the true vessels by which they can see the delight and pleasure revealed in a world. Therefore, to the created beings, it is still not revealed that the purpose of creation is truly to do good to his creations. Since they see that their suffering torments in a world, each in his own way. Thus, we can interpret that as long as the created beings observe to run mitzvot, not with the intention to bestow, they are still unable to see the truth that there is in the purpose of creation to do good.
אלו שמקיימים תורה ומצוות
Therefore, this means that concerning those who observe Torah and mitzvot and have not yet been rewarded with aiming to bestow, although in truth scrutinies were made for the Kedusha by observing Torah and mitzvot, even if it is without the intention, meaning that the Kedusha increases through their actions, this is only with respect to the existence of Kedusha. Nevertheless, the created beings are still unable to see what happens through their actions. Meaning, what corrections are done by their work, even if lo lishma. It follows that when we speak of falsehood, when we say that lo lishma is called a lie, it is with respect to the created beings. That is, they are still unable to see the truth about observing Torah and Mitzvot without the intention. But in truth, corrections and scrutinies are made in Kedusha. we must believe the words of the Ari, that each and every act in Torah and Mitzvot makes corrections to such an extent that we should ask concerning what we see. The rule is that if a person can make his neighbor not desecrate the Shabbat, if, for example, the neighbor needs his help, and because of it, the neighbor will observe Shabbat, then a person must act so that he will not desecrate the Shabbat. We should ask, but if here there is no intention to observe the holy Shabbat, and he observes the commandment that his friend imposes on him, so what good can emerge from such work? However, every single act we do, even without an intention, does its thing. That is, it makes scrutinies for the Kedusha. However, the created beings cannot still see the corrections because they might blemish, since they are still under the governance of the will to receive. For this reason, before he sees the corrections that are done by him, he still cannot receive the abundance that is revealed through his action. Hence, when they do not see the abundance that is revealed, they cannot blemish, since they do not see that there is something to receive. However, one must believe that each and every act in Torah and work is important. And so he must believe. Only after one is rewarded with receiving the second nature, called the desire to bestow, he will be rewarded with seeing the truth, that the purpose of creation is to do good to his creations. It follows that when we say that Lo Lishma is called a lie, it is from man's perspective, because man still does not see that the purpose of creation is to do good to his creations. Accordingly, we can understand why Lishma is called truth. Since by being rewarded with Lishma, a person should achieve the degree of love of the Creator by his behavior with the person himself. That is, when a person receives the abundance from the Creator, he sees the truth, that the purpose of creation is to do good to his creations. Moreover, a person should be rewarded with seeing that Providence behaves with all the created beings in a manner of good. Make corrections. Ba'al HaSulam said about what our sages said, Israel are beloved, for they are called the children of the Creator. They are greatly favored, for they are called the children of the Creator. As was said, you are the children of the Lord your God. He said that being called the children of the Creator is in general, but being greatly favored is in person. He asks, what is being greatly favored? He replies, the great favor is in that it is known to them, meaning that they know and feel that they are called the children of the Creator.
Here,
we can interpret similarly, that is, in terms of the action without the intention to bestow, called lo lishma, the people of Israel are called the children of the Creator, because they engage in Torah and mitzvot in practice. This, too, makes great corrections, as the Ari said. However, it is not known to them. In other words, they cannot see what corrections are done by their work. Conversely, after they're rewarded with Lishma, it becomes known to them what they are doing. This is, as it is written, Rabbi Meir says, anyone who engages in Torah Lishma is rewarded with many things. Moreover, the whole world is worthwhile for him. And the secrets of Torah are revealed to him. We should interpret that the whole world is worthwhile for him. Means that he already sees the truth about the purpose of creation, that is, do good to his creations. The evidence of this is that at that time he sees that the whole world is worthwhile for him, since he feels the delight and pleasure. Also, we should interpret the meaning of the secrets of Torah are revealed to him. This means that he's rewarded with seeing how, through his work in Torah and mitzvot, corrections are done above.
But
before he's rewarded with engaging in Torah and mitzvot lishma, although corrections are done through his work in Torah and mitzvot, he cannot see it. Before he's rewarded with vessels of bestow.
Accordingly, we should interpret what our sages said. It is not the learning that is the most important, but the work. Here before us are two things. One, actions. Two, intentions. On one hand, we understand that the intention matters most. In other words, when a person does something good or bad, you should regard the intention, not the act. For example, in a conflict between two people, one took a knife and stabbed the other. Of course, this is a bad deed. The victim sued him, and the offender was fined for it. The offender claims, I only stabbed this man in the hand, and I only scratched him, but I have to pay him a fine. And yet I saw that not long ago, this man went into a hospital and a doctor cut open his stomach and took something out. And he paid the doctor a lot of money. And I, for the tiny cut I caused to him, I have to pay to him? Meaning the opposite of what happened with the doctor? The answer is simple, said the judge. We follow the intention.
And
since you stabbed him because you wanted to enjoy yourself, you have to pay for the pleasure you had. But when the surgeon cut his flesh with a knife, He wanted the patient to enjoy. Therefore, the patient should pay the doctor. We therefore see that what counts is the aim and not the act. Thus, why did our sages say it is not the learning that matters most, but the action? In spirituality, concerning Torah and Mitzvot, the work matters most. As in the words of the Ari, that through performance of Mitzvot, scrutinies of holy sparks are sorted out of the klipot, the shells. However, a person cannot see this before he has vessels of bestowal, or he will see what is done with his work
and
it will go to his vessels of reception and he will send it all back to the shells.
It
follows that the work is what matters most. But if he can make the intention in order to bestow as well, then through the intention that lies over the action, he ascends to a higher degree. As was said above, through man's intention in Torah and Mitzvot, the clothing of the soul is completed. And through the Torah, Noga of Yetzirah is refined, the clothing of Ruach, and through practical Mitzvot, Noga of Asiya is refined and becomes the clothing of Nefesh. For this reason, the act is what matters most, and to the act, we must also add the intention. We must believe that as far as branch and root go, all the corporeal things that happened here derive from the upper roots. Him. We should remember the rule in the order of the work that one need not examine himself to see if he is fine or not. That is, if a person sees that he is not right, this is the time when he should pray to the Creator to help him be fine. This is specifically when one feels that he has some closeness to the Creator. At that time, he is permitted to regard his situation with criticism. But when a person feels that he is removed from the work, meaning that he does not have a desire for work, at that time he must not examine himself and pray. Rather, he must pay close attention and say, whatever grip I have on the work, I am happy with it, and I thank the Creator for it. But at that time, he should not pray to the Creator to bring him closer. And concerning the prayer, that he should pray to the Creator to bring him closer, this should be specifically when he has some ascent in the work. This is as it is written in the Zohar, come and see in the day he engaged in the Torah, to complement the judgment, and at night he might be engaged, and at night he engaged in singing and praising until the day came, because all through the day he engaged in complementing and scrutinizing the judgments, which are left. At night he engaged in praises, which are chasadim. Hence, the above explanation is that specifically during the day, meaning during an ascent, he engaged in the left to sort the judgments. But at night, when he does not illuminate, he engages in praises.
It says
that through the intention of Torah and Mitzvot, the clothing of the soul ends, and through the Torah, the Nogah Yetzirah is refined, the clothing of Ruach, and through practical Mitzvot, Nogah of Asiyah is refined, and it becomes the clothing of the soul, the Nefesh, I'm sorry. What is the intention of men in Torah and Mitzvot? What is Torah through Torah and commandments, practical commandments?
We don't know what it is yet. No. Practical Torah and Mitzvot is when a person understands that he exists in the Torah, in the system, in a network where through his actions, meaning his intentions, he can shake this network and thus correct it. So that he too becomes an active part inside this network.
And
brings it closer to correction.
What?
As he writes here, the question is, what should a person scrutinize? What should a person do? Should he scrutinize the order, the correct order of the work before starting to work?
I don't
think that one can already sort out the correct order in the work, but one should try to be as close as possible to the society and together with the society. If he's in a state where he cannot see by himself what to do at all, then even more so, together with the society to get closer to the Creator.
It says here, start on the right line. You don't have the ability to scrutinize on the left.
Yes.
In a regular society, it's like they're saying, you're lying, you're deceiving yourself, and you're doing things that you're not in them, you consider yourself righteous, close to the Creator, and you're not close to the Creator. Why this we do have to respect for a person to feel, as he told Udi, that when he's not close to the Creator, he would find a connection, closeness to the Creator.
Because from the state that he's in, he can also raise a prayer and the Creator will bring him even closer.
Ken.
The example about the knife and deriving pleasure for himself, they tell him he has to pay for it because he received pleasure for himself.
So
I wanted to scrutinize when a person is doing actions for himself. How does he pay for it? What is the debt that accumulates here?
How does he pay? With money.
What is money here in our work?
Well, he covers what he does.
I
am doing actions for myself, for my own sake. I guess I have a debt accumulating.
But
what is that debt that we're getting, we accumulate here?
In that I harmed the friend.
The moment I receive pleasure from myself, I automatically harm the friend.
Yes.
And now if I wish to pay, repay this debt? Can I do it?
That you want to pay?
Yeah, because there's now a debt and I wish to pay it off. Well, what do I do now?
Through prayer.
Prayer on the friend?
Yes, prayer to the Creator for the friend that you harmed.
I'll try to understand it. Thank you.
Rav,
I wrote here that practical Torah and mitzvot means that a person enters the system and moves it toward correction. What is for us practical Torah and mitzvot?
Practical Torah and mitzvot is when we try in action to connect and to turn to the Creator.
Then
he says here that when a person is only doing these practical actions, he's in a state of falsehood because he's not seeing the truth. And then comes a stage where he receives the intention, the ability to work with intention on these Torah and mitzvot. And you cannot work with one alone. Only the intention is not enough, and only the action is not enough. Can you explain it through the connection?
It's only the action is not enough. It requires an intention. What are we doing it for? What do we want to get closer to? But here, the intention also is not enough, that we just want to do it, but we don't do it in action.
I mean, if we sit and close our eyes and just want to connect,
it's not going to work.
And if we begin to perform actions of unit, connection between us, but forget what it's for, it's also not good. So that's practical Torah and mitzvot and the intention on them.
Yes.
So what's the difference between, when doing both, what's the difference between lo lishma and lishma?
That I perform my actions only as actions without an intention, or that I do it as intention without the actions, it's incomplete. Yes.
And then we're instead of false, because we don't see the good who does good.
Yes, it's on the way, but this is how it is for the time being.
No.
What is it about lo lishma that brings the person to lishma?
When we awaken the Creator, the upper light, the sources of the upper light, so that they will shine on us.
What inverts here? Because I work like a beast here.
No.
Why not?
That's not called lo lishma. Lo lishma means that you work and you want to reach lishma.
But he's saying in the article that you can't even reveal to them the matter of lishma. So they would still continue to work this way and in the end will come to lishma. What's the inversion here? Where do things get inverted?
When a person gradually discovers that the goal is lishma?
Yes.
He discovers it along the way. When he works in that, the light reforms him bit by bit. It brings him closer to realizing that his work is incomplete and there is nothing that he can do in that state, and he can get closer to the Creator only through the friends. And bit by bit, this is what he reads, what he learns, and he's also engaging in such actions.
So it changes the perception of reality. All of it changes.
Yes.
We work in love of friends. So how can you tell that the action is a commandment or that we didn't reach the making of a mitzvah? Is the action a mitzvah, or there should be a certain attitude, a decree from the Creator or something? Because there are many societies one can do in the society, and you can do it without any understanding,
any intention
and understanding. I don't know what to do, but I do it. But how do I turn that into a mitzvah, even in order to receive?
What should I do so that my action will at least be in order to receive?
No, my action will be a mitzvah, a commandment.
So it will be in order to bestow contentment to the Creator. Otherwise, what kind of a mitzvah is it?
Here it says that also in lo lishma, without understanding anything, you can perform a mitzvah even in lo lishma.
Well, this happens to a person when he tries to do something, but he doesn't know what, and then a Creator brings him to such actions where he is capable to perform them, of performing them to some extent, and by that he becomes incorporated in the public.
Again.
Yes.
We, during the time of preparation, are all the actions that we're doing come from within the will to receive?
Certainly, everything that we do comes from the will to receive.
And the intention gives us the ability to want to bestow, to be in order to bestow. Can I make the intention in order to bestow, or am I still in order to receive?
As much as you come out of yourself and become incorporated in the friends, then you are able to do it. He writes in the article that if a person simply performs actions, correct actions, this is what he thinks, he calls it practical mitzvot, then he already sorts the holy sparks in the shells, as the Ari explains. Now, I heard from you once that even a driver who drives people, or a person who cooks food and gives it to people, he already performs. I mean, that everyone are servants of the Creator, they just don't understand it, they don't know anything about it.
So,
in our work, if a person simply does things and he doesn't think, doesn't scrutinize the intention, is it considered that he already does something but doesn't know about it? Or he should think and scrutinize his intention, and then it's considered that he's doing something.
Everyone performs commandments, mitzvot, everyone. But to scrutinize and to agree with it, and from that to work in lishma, that's already the work of the individual.
This is our primary work.
Yes.
Thanks. I wanted to ask. You asked Vlad from Kiev 1. You said to Lolishma is a gift, but I have a feeling that I'm bad.
And that
when the light shines on my desire, it makes my will to receive worse. So where's the transition?
Which transition between what?
And what?
From lo lishma to lishma.
The transition between lo lishma and lishma is found inside of a person, in his attitude toward the group, toward the Creator, and toward actions that they can do.
בסדר. טוב.
Però maestro, questa sensazione di peggiorare costantemente.
But I have a feeling that I'm worse. Always. Is that good or bad?
It's not good. You have to be in this way, in this direction, and that direction. On that it says, a fool sits idly by tormenting himself or eating his own flesh.
We're reading in the study of the Tense of Yerot, volume 2, part 6. We are in inner observation, item 9.
What is this
new form of calculation done in the Nikvei Enayim that does not take into account phase 4, even though it does incorporate it?
What is the coupling in the Nikvei Enayim?
Apparently, it's a coupling of the second restriction, meaning that it doesn't use the vessels of reception, even though it does limit itself according to them.
Yes, and
so what is this new form of calculation, and how is it different from the coupling done in the Peh?
What is the difference between the coupling in Nikvei Enayim or coupling in the Peh?
Yes.
It's a lack of a hap.
But seemingly in the Peh, earlier, it could also limit itself and not expand to phase 4.
That's according to the coarseness. But here he doesn't have any vessels. He doesn't take these vessels into the calculation. He makes in the head, and he calculates only on the vessels of Galgalta Benayim. That's it.
What is this addition that in the Rosh he takes into account the vessels of
Ahab?
Of the Ahab, yes.
It's an additional, it's additional vessels that he wishes to work with in order to bestow.
So it wants to work with them in order to bestow, but nevertheless, it limits itself.
And in the Peh, earlier.
In the Peh, he worked with all the vessels.
Even though he also limited itself.
Where are you reading? Where does it say it?
He mentioned...
Which part? Indeed, there's a deep matter here.
Maybe.
Indeed, there's a profound matter here.
He says, you shall ask.
Can.
How the Gav, the Kudim, divided into two Roshim, two heads? This one?
Yeah, that's the paragraph, but there was a sentence that I saw here that he was writing about it being incorporated from phase 4. But doesn't use it. From the Enayim and below, the lower Hay does not expand, since the look, which is the coupling, doesn't happen in phase 4, meaning the lower Hay, but in the first and second phase, which were the Achap. And the vessels of Nikudim are only from phase 1 and 2, and there is none of phase 4 in them, even though the Malchut of the Rosh is incorporated from the lower Hay.
Yes. החשבון הזו, שאף על פי שבחינה שמלכות דרוש...
What is this form of calculation that even though מלכות of Rosh is incorporated, there's nothing of phase four?
But in phase two and phase one, which are the Achap?
Even though it's incorporated in them.
She limits the coupling upon them. But from the Einayim below, the lower Hay does not expand whatsoever due to the secret of the coupling that takes place in phase four, but in the lower head, rather in phase two and phase one, which are the Achap. Okay.
Phase one
and two are Achap.
Yes.
The lower hay,
the bottom hay does not expand at all from the Einayim, because it is done on the phase four, meaning the bottom hay, but in phase two and phase one, which are Achap. Yes?
I don't
get this calculation that's happening now.
It is clear that the vessels of Nikudim are phase 2 and phase 1, and they have no phase 4 whatsoever, even though the head, the Rosh, is included of the lower hay.
So what does it mean that on one hand it's incorporated of the lower hay, which is the phase 4? On the other hand, it doesn't use it.
There's no coupling in the Rosh on its discernment, on its face.
So what's this form of calculation different than the previous one that was?
Previously, there were couplings and calculations on all the corners, coarseness, that's in Malchut, and here not. Read onwards. Now you can understand the matter of the association of the quality of mercy and judgment, which are the connection of the two hays, the first hay and the bottom hay. This association remains permanent and existing in the Nigvenaim and not in the phase of Achap, which went outside, since there is only the phase of Vav in the Achap that exited, which is only the screen of the first hay. Since the phase of the bottom hay was not drawn to them from the Nikve Nine.
Ma.
What?
What did he mean here? What does that add?
That he's already cutting it upon, he's slicing it upon all of the Nikudim. There's no calculation there upon the lower hay. The Achap there is the second phase and the first phase. Accordingly, you will understand the matter of the association of the quality of mercy and judgment, which are the connection of the two hays, the first hay and the bottom hay. This association remains permanent and existing in the Nikve Nine, and not in the phase of Achap, which went outwards, since there is only the phase of Vav in the Achap that exited there, which is only the screen of the first hay. Since the phase of the bottom hay was not drawn to them from the Nikve Einayim. So there's only the first hay there.
He mentions a coupling and a looking. What are those two terms? What's the difference?
Zivug ze barur lanu, ken?
Coupling is clear to us, yes?
Zivug de aka.
coupling of clash, of repeating, where the connection of two parts that are contradicted between them and are in a certain clash between them. But in order to come to some compromise to the form of a common work between them, they carry out this coupling. Even though it is done through a beating, a clash. That's the coupling by clashing. We can read it through the questions and answers there and find more information about that for sure. That is the zivug va'avaka. What else?
The looking. He says that there's a coupling and a looking as if it's two different things.
The looking is not a coupling. Looking is what happens seemingly before the coupling. The looking of the eyes in the achab. The looking is kind of
midida,
measurement. How can you say this in another way?
Ech, aracha.
How? Evaluation. Yeah.
He says that the lower hay is only in keter, meaning they do take the lower hay into consideration, but as a keter. So what does that mean?
Where is that written?
The end, what we read, that only the keter itself carries the bottom hay, while the chokhmah bina are clear from the bottom hay.
Yes.
Could we say that it all happens for the lower hay, but for now we're thinking how to get forces of chasadim to deal with it later on?
The question is understood. Yes. We'll go onwards and see. Yes.
What happens below Nikve Naim when he speaks about the Achab and the Nirsut? What happens there?
For the time being, restriction.
But he says
that there's cholam and the screen of the letter Vav is there. So there is an illumination.
Yes.
So it becomes the Rosh of Nikudim. That's also the Rosh of Nikudim. He's speaking about the state of Katnut. That's the Rosh of Nikudim.
The Rosh of Nikudim is Katnut.
So
there's Rosh of Nikudim called Yishut, and the Rosh of Nikudim, which is Gar of Nikudim.
Yes.
And what's in Yishut? How does it take care of it if it's restricted?
The role of Yeshut is Zat of Bina. And accordingly, it limits the Rosh and arranges the Guf, the body.
In a very weak manner. It's not clear.
Look, its source is Zat of Bina, so of course it doesn't have many forces. To limit all the level, it can't. But the part that is already divided from Rosh and Guf, it can.
So what's the difference between Yishut and Garav Nikudim? What's Garav Nikudim itself compared to Yishut?
Yishut is Zat of Bina.
Yeshut is Zat of Bina, the lower seven of Bina. And from Zat of Bina also emerge an action that by the Gar of Nikudim, it becomes the Rosh.
Gar of Nikudim
becomes the Rosh, I think.
Ot Yud Bet.
We'll continue.
Number 12. Now you can see what is always brought in the words of the Ari, that Yesod of the upper one is Dat to the lower one, as here was this matter rooted. When he of Keter are above Chochmah and Binah, like Cholam above the letters, these Yud Hei Vav are Chochmah and Binah regarded as Chagat, meaning Eguf, where Yesod is Chesed, Hei is Gvoah, and Vav is Tiferet. However, after Nehi of Keter became longer and clothed in the Chub as Kamatz under the letters Yud Hei Vav, by which the Chub returned to the Rosh, the Yud Hei Vav, now became Chochmah Bina Dat in the Rosh. The Yud became Chochmah, the Hei Bina, and the Vav Dat. Thus it is considered that the Netzach of Keter raised Chesed of Chub to Chochmah by clothing in them. The Hod of Keter raised Gvoah to the degree of Binam, and the Yesod of Keter raised the Tiferet of Chub to the degree of Dat. You find that through the clothing of Yesod of Keter in Tiferet of Chub, Tiferet became the Sfira of Dat. This is the meaning of Yesod of the upper one becoming Dat through clothing in the lower one. You should know that there are two phases of the Dat, upper Dat and lower Dat. This is because the Tiferet of Chub, which has now become the phase of Dat of Chub, is called upper Dat, since these vessels of Chub have nothing of the bottom Hay, but only of the first Hay. For this reason, it has no relation to Zon, which are incorporated with the bottom Hay. Know that this Dat shines in the vessels that have incorporation with the bottom Hay is called the lower Dat.
Dat Tachton.
No.
Well.
What's special about the Sfira Dat?
That it comes from a coupling of the upper ones.
Kachbad.
Kachbad.
That's
Keter Chochmah Bina Dat. Where Dat is actually what connects
Keter Chochmah,
the Keter Chochmah to Bina, which is opposite of them, opposite to them.
No.
And
that's
what happens.
The upper Dat and lower Dat, what is
that?
That there are two such degrees in a Pertzuf. Keter Chochmah and Dat.
Chesed Gvura.
Chesed Gvura. Tiferet. Netzachot Yod. Meaning that there is this result of the two upper ones, which she extends below.
That's exactly what he wrote about before, that the coupling wasn't on phase four, but it had a record of phase two of clothing and phase one of coarseness.
Yes.
What's a coupling on those phases specifically, on those records?
That's the coupling upon the Galgal Teinaim.
It's not a coarseness that was refined or screen that was refined, but it's records that upon them it's performing the coupling.
Yes.
So what does it mean? What comes out of this? Of a coupling on the records?
The coupling is always upon the records.
And how does a coupling happen on the phase of clothing and not on coarseness?
There's coarseness there for sure, but we don't take it into account because it disappears.
Let's say even the coupling of clothing and phase four, they always take place, and today he only explains, states what's important to state. Could we say that there's always all these things, all the degrees, all the couplings, and he just states what's important for us to understand for the development of the couplings?
Yes. Altogether, in the whole of the wisdom of Kabbalah, I think that he's writing what there is. I wish there would be here 5% of what there is, of what happens.
So what does that mean, that there's all the possibilities that could take place happen, even things that seem unreasonable or wouldn't work out? So here he's telling us about it.
He tells us only what gives us a clear result, the next result that we need to know.
And that's the matter of the light that reforms, that is in it because...
Yes, yes. It specifically defines that. He can't write about all the details that altogether are happening in spirituality. There are endless details. Yes.
How do the vessels connect in that when the lower hay isn't incorporated in them?
There's no such thing as the lower hay is not involved. That cannot be. Rather, she's involved in such a manner that she's seemingly concealed, not participating.
So the heart of the correction, the initial will to receive, is limited under a lot of restrictions, but the system still grows and gets filled of discernments. How does it happen in that way?
Because there's the purpose of creation, and towards that they're always discerning the possibilities that they can do and how they can come closer to her.
Even if the will to receive is limited and restricted and isn't used.
Moreover, as much as the desire to receive is limited, they can come closer to scrutinize it and correct it.
What is that common field that we have when we study tests?
We all want to scrutinize our will to receive, which needs to connect in all its details, from all ends, and to raise to the Creator with a demand for correction.
And that's the place that we're really in during the study.
Yes.
What do we do with the gaps in understanding, perception, part are sleeping, part are drawing things in their heads? Where do we put all that?
That's not important. The Creator will organize that. By the upper light that illuminates upon us, it shines on each of us in His discernments, in His phases, and that's how we all nevertheless belong to one goal.
So what should we focus on when we study tests?
We want to be under the upper influence, which will raise us towards the Creator and will shine upon us, and we will know exactly what's important for each of us right now, and how we can connect all these important discernments for each one united discernment. How we all perform an action in order to bring contentment to the Creator. That is important for us. It's not important to me for me to remain in this state or in a worse state, in a sense and a sense, or that I will know more or less, but rather what's important to me is that I will now bring forth contentment to the Creator. And what I need to do for this, to connect to the friends, to emphasize the deficiency that I have in this, for in me for this, and so on.
We're
reading in the writings of Baal HaSulam, the writings of the last generation. Introduction. There's an allegory about friends who were lost in the desert, hungry and thirsty. One of them had found a settlement filled abundantly with every delight. He remembered his poor brothers, but he had already drawn far off from them and did not know where their whereabouts. What did he do? He began to shout out loud and blow the horn. Perhaps his poor, hungry friends would hear his voice, approach him, and come to that settlement that is filled with every delight. So is the matter before us. We have been lost in the terrible desert along with all of humanity. And now we have found a great abundant treasure. Namely, the books of Kabbalah and the treasure. They satisfy our yearning souls and fill us abundantly with lushness and contentment. We are satiated, and there is more. Yet we remember our friends who were left hopeless in the terrible desert. There's a great distance between us, and words cannot bridge it. For this reason, we have set up this horn to blow out loud so that our brothers might hear and draw near and be as happy as we are.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that it seems like human beings see the history. We tried to share this in the show after Chaim's book. It's an example how all along history that we're in separation, they come to ruin us, and we still don't understand. We don't learn from history. That's what I'm asking. Why don't we learn from history? What he says here is the quality of man.
We don't feel that it's for our benefit, because it obligates us. That's why we run from it.
And the leaders have nothing to show, and in this dissemination, show how the world must come through history to something?
Nobody wants to learn, but only reap the fruit. That's why you don't have massive quantities of people who want to connect and go ahead and break all the barriers until you reach some goal that you determine in advance that we needed in order to advance. No, there's no such thing. The evil inclination of man is born evil. And that's in each and every one of us.
I'm going
to ask Michael to read. However, in our internality, though we develop and do so through being pushed from behind through suffering and bloodshed. And this is because we have no way to attain a mirror to see in the internality of man of what was in the previous generations. We shouldn't have to say in the internality of the souls of how they cascaded and came to such a horrible ruin. And we shouldn't have any, we'd be ready for these ruins and slaughter and all the terrible, strange deaths until we all admit that there is no counsel to prevent it. So when I was talking with Dudi about this introduction, he said this was before World War II that Baal HaSulam wrote this. That he wrote that in these years that humanity is going through this dreadful slaughter and there's no way to prevent it. So this is my question all the time. How do we do prevent? We in our consciousness understand that everything depends on the correction of our relations, and how do we prevent these ruins that should come upon humanity?
By the connection between us, because we already have records from the First and Second World Wars and all the troubles that were between those wars.
Baal HaSulam wrote this. He was in such attainment and couldn't prevent it. How do we prevent this? I'm looking at myself. What am I doing every day that this won't, so that this won't happen?
That's no problem. What one Kabbalist can do, thousands and thousands of people that follow his path can do it. They have more of a demand and more of a complaint to the Creator than a great Kabbalist.
You are our teacher, you're a Kabbalist. Do you see that we're doing something correct? Are we advancing towards this correction?
Yes, we're advancing to this correction and we have to keep going on the path even though we don't see it.
Again, am I addressing you because you're our teacher? What? How to not miss? What?
Each one in his heart must give a place for everybody. And from his heart, that he fills all the other hearts, to turn to the Creator and ask. There's nothing to add about that.
Just to say, he writes the solution here. He says that although we develop somewhat, but due to these pushes from behind, it's because we have no tactic by which to obtain a mirror to see inside the people who lived in these past generations. What is this mirror that we need now?
We need to see what came after us, that these things can come before. And in order for it not to happen, we need to ascend upward towards the Creator.
No.
He writes here about this push from behind. Lately, the people of Israel received a big push. I was in a certain meal with my family, and one of them says that she lights candles. She's asking to have a room with five rooms. That was her prayer. House with five rooms. And now she's saying that she can't do that prayer anymore. She simply can't. She has already a prayer that is more for the public. Brothers, is there something in that? Is that a form of advancement on the outside that we could...
It's some kind of advancement, but yeah. It's good that there was an advancement, and better if it would have happened without such events that we saw.
Once, if our car didn't start, we'd push from behind and we'd like wait for it to ignite and push. If there was like a push here, how do we use this so that the engine will get started and not just push and push?
We have to connect, and from one push, we can...
At the end of the paragraph we just read right now, he says, open these books, and you'll find all the good orders that will be revealed in latter days, end of days. You'll get the good things that will arrange everything, that will arrange things for us. In this world, that we can learn the history, and from it we correct the future.
Yeah.
He gives like very precise guidance. Who is he talking to? Who is he writing to this? Open the books, see everything.
It's here before us. So what do you want? You don't want to take it on yourself?
I want, but who did he write these writings for? For us? For the people? For the world? For himself? Who did he write this to?
For the world. Whoever opens it and wants to read it and understand it and come closer to Bala Sulam, and even to try and implement it, what he's writing about. So, that's who he's writing for.
And who are we turning to now as we turn to people?
We're turning to the whole world.
Knowing that very few actually want to hear it today.
Yes, but still even a bit that we awaken the world. We awaken ourselves. We, by this, diminish the amount of suffering and horrible tragedies that are all standing before the world.
Do we need to relate to these phenomena that are happening in the world, or is it just confusing us?
What phenomena?
For example, what our friends just said, there's today a big movement, in, at least in Israelis, to not want to hear things that that separate us.
Correct.
It's a phenomenon just now after the war.
Yeah.
So we need to look at this and say how wonderful it's starting to work, or to say...
You don't say anything. We just don't need to hear words that separate as much as possible, to increase words of unity.
We are saying that, what you said, all the years, throughout the years. That's part of our way.
Yeah.
That's a principle in our path.
Yeah.
The people in general now, from the suffering, naturally are saying it. How do we need to relate to this phenomena where suddenly there's such phenomena, there's such manners of behavior in the people. What should we say to this?
That it's natural that through suffering, people start wanting the correction more.
And we could say, oh, how wonderful our work has finally had an impact, or that's not the right attitude.
I don't think it's our work, I think it's the Creator.
That
in this way, he's doing it in the world.
And is there a chance that now those who have come to this naturally will say, oh, there's someone there, some Rav Lightman that's been saying it for 30 years?
God forbid.
Maybe it's worthwhile to hear him?
No. A new time will come, and new people will come, and Bnei Baruch will be different, and we will push them from below.
Meaning we will continue to do our work in internality, and it will have an influence, and there will be results there.
Yeah, generation after generation.